hit faith all the time throughout a lot of sermons, but I want to specifically talk about faith that moves mountains, and I want to talk about the kind of faith that pleases God. I want to talk about faith in all kinds of different ways. We're going to talk about faith requires risk and persistence. Faith requires integrity. Faith demands the proper perspective, to have God's perspective on things. We're going to talk about faith for these next few weeks. I want you to know the Bible says it very clearly. Why are we going to talk about faith? Because Hebrews 11:6 says, by the way, do you have notes? Our ushers did their job today. Yes, good job, y'all. I gave you notes this week because here's the deal. I don't often remember after preaching my sermon three times on a Sunday afternoon when I'm kind of in a word coma, in a mental coma, and somebody might say to me who didn't come to church, hey, what'd you speak on today? I'm like, God, now he loves us. Kind of make it up, you know, right? And then I realize, oh, it was about faith. Well, sometimes when we take notes, it does. Not sometimes. Statistically, you'll remember better as you take notes. So I invite you to do that. But in your scripture, and there's a scripture that says, but without faith, it's impossible. You might circle the word impossible. To please him, speaking of God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. We can't enter the kingdom of God without faith. We can't grow in our relationship with God without faith. We can't experience miracles of God without faith. We can't even please God without faith. It takes faith. Without faith, it's impossible. Everyone say impossible. Just want you to know, just in case you're wondering, I looked it up. It means impossible. So we need to grow in the area of faith. How many of you, by a show of hands today, are believing God for a miracle in your life? Amen. I want to believe with you. But it's going to take faith to get there. It's going to take a faith in God that comes from someplace. Bible says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This means that he rewards us by answering our prayers of faith. Now, stop for a minute. Last week we saw how important prayer is and how there are things that are God's will in our lives. And he should just know what I need and he should just kind of grant all the things that he knows I need. But he still says we should pray. And he says, pray and ask and seek and knock. Can I give you this real encouragement today? Praying about something. I've been guilty of praying for something. I leave church service like this or like last week, so fired up and excited. I'm going to pray. I'm going to believe God. And so I pray about something. And the next day, I pray about something. The next day, I pray about something. And the next day, I pray about the same thing. And then I pray about that same thing. And then I, man, didn't he hear me? He heard me all those times, right? And we can grow weary in our prayer life. Praying to God over and over about something, because here's what the enemy will tell us, says you don't believe he can do it. Why do you keep asking? Don't you believe he can do it? And I've heard Christians tell me, well, I asked God to do this for me, and he heard me the first time. Well, your wife heard you say you love her at the altar the first time too, but okay, let's get back to the message. Just saying. Ladies, I expected an amen there, and you were all very quiet. I don't know. I usually get the women on my side on something like that. Praying doesn't show a lack of faith in God. Praying over and over and over and over and over doesn't show a lack in a faith in God. It shows a strength in your faith in God. You know who to go to every single time. And you're just going to keep going and you're going to be like the persistent widow and you're going to keep knocking. And he says, he's knocking on your door. All you got to do is answer the door. That's what prayer is. Going to the Lord shows a strength in your faith. One day Jesus was teaching his disciples about forgiving the people who offended them. How many know that's a tall order? So just think about it. We read these scriptures sometimes, we just kind of miss it and like, oh, that really, you know, I don't know how that goes. Jesus is telling them, you should forgive those people who've offended you. And their response to that was, Lord, increase our faith. Why? Because they were saying what I just said. It's a tall order to forgive somebody who's offended you, who wronged you, who's spoken lies about you. That's an incredibly difficult thing for us to do many times. And so let's pray like they said, Lord, increase our faith. I want you to be increased in your faith. With this series, as we go through it, I want you to know that God wants to increase your faith and grow your faith. As we from the very beginning of this series, I want you to know you need to continue to believe and trust God and to have faith in you. Anybody here believing for a loved one to come to Christ who wants serve Christ even? Okay. They've heard the word? We'll come back to that. Maybe you're believing God for a miracle in your life. Maybe you're believing God for a financial miracle in your life. Maybe you're believing that it's God's will that hundreds of people in Alpine get saved. Isn't that God's will? So we should pray though still, right? Because we have faith in God that He can do what He said He would do. The right place to begin on any series of faith on faith is just, you can fill in the blanks, but it starts with God's word. Faith in God's word. It starts and it really begins and ends with God's word. Here's what Romans tells us. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I've heard the word of God. Have you? You've already heard enough this morning to carry you through. But I'm going to give you a lot of scripture today. Is that okay? Because that's the stuff that doesn't return void. I mean, some of the stuff, I'm believing the Holy Spirit speaking through me, but I know the Bible speaks for itself and the word of God will speak for itself. So I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures. And also in your notes, you'll notice I didn't write all of the scriptures out for you. There's a method to my madness. One, there's not enough room on the paper to put all the scriptures. Two, I want you to go home and look them up for yourself. So you might see one on the screen because they'll be there and then you'll see the address. If it's like, oh, that one's here, circle the address and come back to it, study it out for yourself. If we're saying that faith comes by hearing the word of God, and that's what this message is all about today. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. If we're saying that, then I want to give you some homework. Go home and hear the word of God. Go open the word of God. Read these words and over and let the words sink into your life. It starts with the word of God. It comes by hearing the word of God. We have to understand that if it comes by the word of God, there's a few things we need to settle in our heart. And the first one is this: God's word is good for us. It's good for you. It's good for you. I know that's not very deep. You've heard other pastors say it. But you've also heard your doctor say you need to work out. I'll get a drink of water on that one. I've been prone, my body's been fighting me for years. I've been prone to anemia. And so I have to take iron every day. A lot of iron. It's not the greatest, but I have to take a lot of iron. Along with that, I take a bunch of other things. And it's all the doctor said. And any time that I've, and my wife will tell you, there's been a few times where I forgot for like a couple months. And ended up in the hospital needing to get transfused. And that's just my own fault. I know what I need to do, and I didn't do it. I know I need to take, I know it's for my good. And I'm believing God that I'll be totally healed one day, and I won't have to take any of that stuff. My body's just going to line up with what I'm believing, that by His stripes I'm healed. I believe that, but in the meantime, I have to do what the doctors told me to do, or else I'm going to pay some consequences. It's not going to work out too good for me. The Word of God is good for me. Why is it good for me? Well, first of all, it never changes. Your circumstances and my circumstances in life change. Your jobs change. Your checkbook total changes. Your weight changes. Your family dynamics change. You add new family in. Your mother-in-law's attitude towards you changes. Things change. Circumstances change. But God's word never changes. It says very clearly, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word by no means will ever pass away. Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is speaking. He says this: therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain comes and the streams rise. This is all about change. Stuff's coming at you all over the place, but you built your house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But you know the rest of the story. The one who built his house on the sand, rains came, and all of a sudden it's just wiped out because it's not built on the right foundation. The word of God will never change, but not only that, it will never fail you. It's the word of God. It's God's word. The old saying is, God said it, I believe it. Here's the problem. It really doesn't matter if you believe it or not. in the grand scheme. Now, for your life, it matters that you believe it. But the reality of it is, if God said it, that settles it. It's going to come to pass. It will happen. God said it. Now, it'd be good if you believed it and begin to appropriate it in your life and begin to ask God, Lord, you said this. I'm going to believe it. Your word is alive and I can believe it. We need to put our faith and trust in the word of God. And then realize when we do that, the problems we face in life will change, but our circumstances will change. But God will never change and his word will never change. The scripture says, sometimes we think in this world of uncertainty, we don't know why bad things happen to good people. We don't know why good things happen to bad people. That kind of bothers me more than anything. Like, that's not right. We wonder about those things. The Bible says it very clearly. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and good. Sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. There are times that our faith is tested. And if our faith is on the word of God, if our faith is on the solid rock, we can stand the test of time no matter what is going on. I found one of the most important aspects of getting more of God's word in my life is to realize that it is for my good, as I already said. God's word is for my good. The Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And so that the fear of God, meaning respect, not fear. Pastor said, I have to read the Bible. If I don't read the Bible, God's going to be really mad. That's guilt-induced fear. That is not what this is talking about. This is a reverence. This is a respect. I know that this is good for me. Because I know it's good for me, I'm going to read it. I'm going to respect it because it's God's word for me. It's that kind of reverence. And he says, when you do that, when we have that fear of God, it's the very beginning of wisdom. We can begin to apply those things to our lives. Our respect for God should draw us closer to him. Not our respect for God should, oh no, he's going to be mad. You've all met people that said, I can't go back to church. People who once went to church, I can't go back. God's going to be really mad at me. I got news for you. He's not mad at you. He loves you. Yeah. If you're back for the first time in a while today, he loves you. He always has. Our respect for God should draw us closer to him and let him give us the happiness and joy. Jesus stated it very clearly. That the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But he came to give you life, and that to the full. And that includes blessing you. That includes the reality that his word for you is good in your life. Let me give you a bunch of scripture on this real fast. And again, circle them, but I got to go fast in this. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. One of the Psalms we read in this past series says this, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Why? Because I got God's word in my heart. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of the sacred tent and set my feet upon the high rock. Jeremiah tells us, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me. And I will listen and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. I don't know if this is news to anyone here, but I'm a guy. Just I'll let you know. And I'm about to paint all guys with a broad brush. And maybe it's just me, but I think there's a tendency here. And maybe you'll understand. When I go to do stuff, I don't like reading directions. Not a big fan. I know people who are very good at that. I know people that will read the entire manual before they ever even open the box and pull stuff out. That's not me. I look at the picture and I'm like, I'm going to make this look like that. Yeah, I just don't. It's just not my thing. It's like, whatever. And I know this for a fact. There are guys that don't like to ask for directions. That's the way it goes. I spent 12 hours a week ago Saturday on my motorcycle. Got all done putting everything back together. I have two bolts that I have no idea where they come from. So yesterday I downloaded the plans. You need to download the plans. He says, I know the plans. Wait a minute. God has plans for you to prosper you and not harm you, to give you a future and your hope. We need to stop ignoring the plans and download the plans. There is a plan for God to prosper you and not harm you. Understand this. God wants to bless you. We've got to open His Word. God's Word. Again, to increase our faith, we've got to develop a love for it. Why? Because God's Word is what feeds us spiritually. It feeds you spiritually. Anybody that's gone on a diet for a couple of days knows that feeling of like, my goodness, I would eat packing peanuts right now. Hey, it's ketogenic, man. I'm just saying. There's no fat, no carbs, whatever. You know, you've been there. Amen? But we don't do that spiritually. We might go weeks and weeks and weeks without really opening the Word of God, and we never think to ourselves, my gosh, I'm starving spiritually. Right? We just get it. We start wondering why is my attitude? We don't even wonder it. We're just like, man, my attitude stinks. Gosh, I don't have a whole lot of peace. Well, I wonder why. I wonder if it's because I'm not feeding on something that's good for me, and I'm not nourishing myself spiritually by the Word of God. It grows our faith. It produces spiritual life within us. So we gaze upon God. And the Bible says that God told Joshua, keep this book of the law on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written into it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I could ask really simply, how many want to be prosperous and successful? Then you got to get the Word in your heart and you got to meditate on it day and night. And I know we're like, oh, but I got a job. I got to focus. Okay, but there's ways that you can meditate on the Word of God. That word meditate, and I apologize in advance for the visual, but you just got to get it. Here's what that word literally means. The literal translation of the word meditate in the Bible is the word ruminate. What is ruminate? Ruminate is the picture of the cow who eats the alfalfa, chews on it for a while and swallows it, and then brings it back up, and then chews on it some more and swallows it, and brings it back up, and does it again and does it again. And the reason for the cow doing this, nature somehow or another has told the cow this is important. But the more the cow does that, the more easily it's digested, and the healthier the milk is for the baby. The more you and I will get the Word in us and then bring it up and continue to bring it up over and over and over again, the more it will produce health and life to your bones. I know people that have decided that they would memorize Scripture. Memorize Scripture at red lights. There's a good one. Remember index cards back in the day? We're in the day of smartphones, and half of you guys don't even read your Bible because it's on your phone. And I get that, you know. An electronic form of the Bible is awesome. It's very handy. For me, it's great because I can blow up the words where I can read them because my Bible's small. I don't know what the words have been getting smaller. I don't know what's going on about that. It just kind of shrinks over years. I know this. I know people that have memorized the Word of God because it was on their heart to just memorize the Word. You could put it on an index card, whatever the Scripture is. You heard a Scripture today. If you find one today that's like, oh, I need that for this week, write on an index card, put it on your visor, on your car, flip it down every once in a while, and you'll have that stinking thing memorized in a couple weeks, and it'll bring life to you. Yeah. I have a friend that memorized the entire book of James at stoplights in his commute through L.A. The entire book of James at stoplights. He started with a verse, and before he knew it, he would put four or five verses on a card because he realized he could actually memorize more in a day than he thought because of all the stops he had to make. You can do this, and then you have it in your heart, and it comes up, and it comes up. Listen, I've heard the Word of God in my life. Have you? What we need to do is bring it up every once in a while. We get back in the Word of God, feed ourselves spiritually. The psalmist tells us that a blessed person, a prosperous person, is a person who meditates on God's Word day and night. Psalm 119 tells us, I meditate on your precepts and I consider your ways. I delight in your decrees and I will not neglect your words. We need to ingest and digest the Word of God, and it will bring health to us. But there's also benefits, specific benefits. I could come up with hundreds of them from the Word. I'm just going to give you some specifics. What are the benefits of hearing the Word of God and building our faith? The first benefit is this: more peace. Could anybody here use some more peace in your life? I could use more peace. Well, I've got to turn to the Word of God. The Word of God can activate our faith and we will experience more peace in our lives. If you're struggling to get your peace back in your life, we need to all live in more peace. The scripture says in Isaiah, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. This is a promise from God that he'll keep you at peace. If you want more peace, keep your mind stayed on God. Meditate on the Word of God. I heard someone say this week, and it sparked a thought for me. But he said this. He said, you're asking God for peace, but you're living your life in pieces.
So good.
Yeah, my head did the dog thing. He said, you got your work you got your after work you got your Sunday 10:11:26 you, and you got your Friday night you. Just playing, nothing wrong with dancing, I'm just saying. You know what I'm getting at. You got your you with this group of friends. You got your you with this group of friends. And then you got your you in the middle that goes, I hope this group of friends never meets this group of friends. And you got, I'm praying for peace. God, give me peace. I need peace. I need peace. But in the meantime, you're trying to manage all these yous. How many yous do you think you can manage and have the peace of God in your life? That's a freebie, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Because we just need to come back to the you that's surrendered to God, that isn't concerned about. You got to be authentic in your faith. You will have the peace if your mind is stayed on Him. It's like, remember back in the day, moms and dads, when you tried to teach your kids not to lie, because then when they lie, then they tell another lie, and then they tell another lie, and okay, maybe they didn't, but you did when you were little. And it's really a lot of pressure holding up all the lies, isn't it? And just kind of hoping that they never quite find out. I used to try and teach my kids, just tell me the truth the first time. It's going to be painful, but tell me the truth the first time instead of me having to drag it out of you. I said drag, not beat. But there was a time. No, I'm teasing. I'm saying it's better to just live authentically before the Lord, having faith in God, and He'll give you more peace. How many could use some more confidence? More confidence. Do you need any faith to be more confident in your work life or in your home life? As a father, I felt many times that I fell short as a father to my children. And I would just ask God, Lord, I need confidence to be the man of God you've called me to be. I don't have a frame of reference that looks good. His father, Lord, I don't know. Lord, would you show me how to be a father? And I needed God's confidence. And where I got it was from the Word of God. Where I got it when I stepped out to become a husband. That was daunting. Being a husband. I'm a pretty good one. If I do say so myself. But I wasn't at first. And I was scared to death. And then those days where you're battling for provision and those things and you're feeling less than as a man, I needed God's confidence to rise up in me. That's when I had to turn to the Word of God. How many of you need more courage? You know, the scripture says, by the way, for confidence, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. All things. That means husband. That means father. That means employee. That means boss. That means business owner. Whatever it is that you're stepping out to do, some new territory you're taking, you need God's courage. You know this. Have God's courage. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Courage. Anybody here ever fight discouragement? If you're not fighting it within, somebody's discouraging you around you. You ever tried to set out and try and do something new? And people... You're trying to better yourself, but everybody thinks that's the wrong way to do it. Like you're trying to lose weight. And they're going, I don't know if I'd try that diet. Well, I'm trying something. Like, where were you when I was chomping down on that foot-long sandwich with extra cheese? Nobody was saying nothing then when I was drinking a triple-sized Dr. Pepper. But I start something. I'm a little close to home. But you know how it is. You're trying to do something better for yourself. And here comes the discouragers. And you might even get it. You got it. Listen, I'm capable of discouraging my own self. Thank you. I don't need your help. Discouragement. Galatians says this. Don't grow weary while doing good. In due season you'll reap if you do not lose heart. You set out to do something, and God wants you to be encouraged. And you know what's encouraging? The scale's encouraging when you're losing weight. You know what's more encouraging? Wearing a shirt you haven't worn in 5 years. Come on, somebody. I wasn't even 40 pounds, if you want to know. 30 in the last whatever days it's been, but 40 since I started trying to get it together. I'm not done. I'm having fun. I feel good. I'm encouraged. Now, you know what's encouraging? When somebody goes, hey, you look good. I don't know what's up, but you look good. It's encouraging. Thanks for the encouragement. I appreciate it. But the Galatians tells me I'm not going to grow weary in doing good. I started off. I'm not going to finish. I'm trying to get to my original weight, 8 pounds, 6 ounces. That was way too easy. How many of you believe in God for more miracles in your life? The Word of God, if you get the Word of God in you, it will produce the faith that's needed to get miracles in your life. If you need a miracle in your finances, 2 Corinthians tells us God will generously provide you all you need. There will always be, you'll always have everything you need and plenty left over for others. I like that. Not just God's going to bless me, but God's going to bless me so I can bless you. Come on, somebody. That's good stuff. I want that kind of blessing. That comes straight out of the Word of God. Deuteronomy 28 says, all these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. And you can read the rest, but it says you're going to be blessed. 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 But you got to read the Word of God and obey it. Position yourself to receive. Hebrews tells us the Word of God is alive and it's powerful. And when we get it into our hearts, when we meditate on it and think of it over and over again, it takes our faith to a brand new dimension, to a place of, I like to call it perfect faith, where it's instantaneous faith on demand. And many times I'm at a place where I don't have it within me to have the faith. And God comes along, and you know the Bible calls it a gift of faith. It's a gift from the Holy Spirit. There have been times where He's given me faith where I couldn't even muster it into myself. He's reminded me of a scripture, and then I began to meditate on that scripture. I began to remember the scriptures that I heard, words that I heard from God. Faith comes by what? Hearing. Everybody say hearing. Hearing. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Here's what I want to say about that. You know, faith is not a moment. Faith is not an occurrence. Faith is not some framework of time, an instance that you had faith. Faith is a journey. It's a journey that we begin and we start it, and we need to complete it in faith. We can do this. God's given us. I can do all things through Christ. He gives us strength. Give me strength. But faith is a journey. I don't know how your life was before Christ, but mine looked like, the journey looked like this. Anybody? Looked a lot like this. That was my life before Christ. And then I came to Christ. Boom! That day. And I just have been on my way to heaven ever since. I came to Christ and it's still doing this. Because I gave my life to Christ. I mean, in some ways, you know, Lord, I just give you my life. Come in and be my Savior. I want to, Lord, lead me, guide me. And then I do my own thing sometimes. And thank God for God positioning satellite, GPS. His Word. It'll get me back on track when I find myself off track. But honestly, I have met very few Christians who came to Christ and it's like from here to heaven. It'd be nice if I just said, Jesus, take my life right now. And He goes, okay, and bring me up to heaven. That would have been awesome. Been fine. But He had a plan for me, so I'm here. But the reality of it is life is a journey. Faith is a journey. And we go from faith to faith, from glory to glory, and we do our best to follow Christ. Well, what am I saying? Here's the thing. You have somebody in your life. This is totally what God wants me to say. I said, everything I said about faith comes by hearing to get to this point today. There is someone in your life that you're believing God that they are going to come to Christ. They're going to come to faith in Christ. Maybe they once served the Lord. Maybe they once came to faith in Christ. But today, as you sit here, you're concerned about their soul. You've been praying for them over and over and over again. They're a loved one. It's a husband, a father, a mother, a wife, a son, a daughter, a grandparent, an adult, somebody who's literally on their deathbed. They've heard the word. They've heard the word. They've heard the word. And faith comes by hearing the word. On my journey, I heard the word. Growing up as a little kid, you've told my testimony, so let me make it really quick. I heard the word. I heard the word. I heard the word. I heard all kinds of word. I had to memorize the Bible as a kid. As a young little Catholic boy, I had to memorize all these scriptures. I did my best. I did my best to kind of get all these words in me. And I heard them. I was raised in a family where we went to church. And we heard all about Jesus. We heard all about what he did for me. And I believed those things. And I heard those words. And then when I was 17 years old, I gave my life to Christ in a way that was really... it was real. It was authentic to me. I came to Christ and I decided that and then I felt the call of God on my life so much so that I believed that God was calling me to become a pastor. And so even in my high school annual, I was signing my name, Reverend Greg. Audacious, cocky kind of. But I just had this sense of call of God on my life. And I began to work with a pastor. And to make a long story short, he disappointed me in a huge way. Now, I was raised in a home where I didn't have the greatest example of a father. I latched onto this man, and he became kind of like a second father and really a spiritual father to me. And I was following him as he followed the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. I was following him as he followed the Lord, and he completely let me down. That was my perspective. Guess what? He let a lot of people down, but I just thought it was all about me. And I got disillusioned. And I was at this place. I'd heard the word. 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 And I heard the call. And I began to run from it. And I ran from it for a while. About 18 months, 2 years of my life, I spent doing all kinds of craziness, trying to numb the pain, of yet another man letting me down. Another man letting me down. Surely then, God, you're probably going to let me down too. I had all these things going through my brain. And I began to run and ran and ran and ran and ran. And I came to this place. I had heard the scriptures. I had heard the word. I'd heard the gospel. I'd heard the truth. I came to a place one night where I was wasted out of my mind. And I've shared it before. But short story, I'm wasted out of my mind. And in that moment, I'm sitting there completely out of my mind. But I'm thinking I'm going to die. My heart is beating out of my chest at a rate that I'd never felt it beat before. And I could feel myself literally life almost coming from my... Now, I'm not being overdramatic. This was happening and it was very real. About 3 o'clock in the morning on New Year's Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. 3 o'clock, and there it was. My chest is pounding and I knew I was going to die that night. I had a sense of it. And I said, God, if you'll save me tonight, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I will go back and I will serve you. But what happened in that moment as my heart was beating? I heard that God was a deliverer. I had already heard that God was a healer. I had heard that he was a father to the fatherless. I had heard that he wanted to deliver me. I had heard that he was a God of freedom. I had heard that he was a God of my destiny. I had heard that God had plans for my life, plans to prosper me and not harm me, plans to give me a future and a hope. I had heard. I had heard he was a father to the fatherless. I had heard he was a friend to those who are brokenhearted. I heard, and in that moment, it's because I heard, it was like popcorn. You, not this newfangled stuff you throw in the microwave. But back in the day, you'd throw some oil in the pan. You put the kernels in there. Some of you youngins have no clue. It was so good. That's the best popcorn. And you would watch and then you put the lid on and you just... In that moment, because I'd heard the word. It was like popcorn. And the words began to come back to life to me right then and there. And life began to come into my bones. And within the next few moments of my prayer time, I was instantaneously healed and sober right then and there. It was because of God's word. It was because I had heard the word of God. And God's word is alive and God's word is true. And you've got a loved one that's away from God. Don't you dare stop praying for them because they've heard the word of God. He's heard the truth. He's been filled with the Holy Spirit. He has tasted and seen that God is good. And he knows it because he's heard it. And I'm telling you, you've heard the Word of God. And there's things that are buried in you, like dreams and destiny and things that God has spoken over you. And he wasn't stuttering when he said, you're called, you're appointed, you're anointed, you are God's children. He was not stuttering when he said, you are mine, and I bless those whom I love. Trust me, God loves you. And whatever word was spoken over you that's tried to steal, that was from the enemy. But know this, God loves you and he has a plan for your life and you can receive it today. And let the word of God in you rise up and let faith rise in that word, because it's in that word that you will rise in faith in Jesus' name.